Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls as we continue chatting with Rosemary Ellen Guiley about hauntings, but you can jump in too when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley as we continue talking about hauntings and other great mysteries. You've looked at the black-eyed children phenomenon as well, haven't you, Rosemary?
I have. I consider this to be a variation on very old themes in entity contact experiences involving dark figures. And in earlier times, they were even called the devil or demonic, dark fairies, shadow people, the jinn, all kinds of demonic entities. These are trickster entities and hostile entities who seem to come up with new forms. And one of the latest that we've been seeing for a couple of decades now are these black-eyed children and even black-eyed adults, where they seem to be real people who are yet something very strange about them, something off.
Sure is.
They have solid black eyes. Sometimes if they open their mouths, you can see saw teeth. And they have a malevolent effect on people. They seem to want contact. They want entry. They want to get into your house. They want to be able to have physical contact with you. And when that happens to people, they can have negative effects, like they might have health problems. They might start a syndrome of haunting phenomena in their house. And it's because of this contact with these black-eyed humanoid kinds of entities. They're not people. They're entities. Just the latest wrinkle on a very old phenomenon.
What do you think they want? Why do they want in your house?
If they are able to get into your house, and there really is something about this crossing the threshold, getting into your private space, they may find ways to then latch on energetically. They could latch on to objects in a house. They can latch on to people. It's in a way, when you invite them in or you allow them to have some sort of contact with you, you've given them permission to make a direct connection to you. And this is very old folklore, by the way, that of course we see play out in the vampire stories. A vampire has to come across the threshold, and these entities are vampiric, because they will waste away people's health. That's a vampiric effect, the taking of the life force energy. And they create upset. So are they doing it to entertain themselves or because they need our energy? It could be a combination of both. But that seems to be their purpose, is to be able to get an entree to an individual or to a space, like inside a home, where they can lodge and use that for their own gain.
Where do you think they're from? Are they human? Are they ETs? Are they crosses? What are they?
I believe that they are attached to the Earth and that they exist in other dimensional spaces. These would be realms that are right next to us all the time, but we don't perceive them. Because they literally vibrate at a different rate. And we perceive them when these beings have sufficient energy to manifest in our realm. They're able to find openings, and they can come and manifest in our reality. They're not human. They could be called ultra-terrestrials, unknown entities of a demonic sort, that is a hostile or trickster sort. They can shape-shift into a variety of forms. I wouldn't call them ETs so much, as I don't think they're from other worlds, but they're more these ultra-terrestrials that are really from Earth, but another dimension. And we've had interaction with these kinds of beings throughout history, and they have the same sort of modus operandi. They just take varying forms that I think accommodate our expectations, our cultural place, our place in history, in the past, dark fairies, devil entities, Today it's shadow people, djinn, black-eyed kids. And that can even spill out into these beings that we do call extraterrestrials. They may not be extraterrestrials at all. They may be yet another variation of these vampiric, trickster, malevolent kinds of entities that like to prey upon people. And, of course, that doesn't include all beings that we have contact with, but just the darker end of the spectrum.
Rosemary, gargoyles have always fascinated me, too, these incredible-looking creatures that you see on buildings and things. What are they? Because I've heard they're good. I've heard they're bad.
Actually, the gargoyles do have a beneficial purpose. They're ugly, and the premise is that they're so ugly they scare away the supernatural things that are ugly. So they've out-uglied the demonic in a way. And they are placed around buildings, and this was quite prevalent centuries ago, especially for cathedrals. Their original purpose actually was as water spouts, and they would act like gutters and rain spouts that would draw water away from buildings. But over time, they also acquired this protective characteristic of guarding places against invasion from demonic and hostile spirits and presences. We have this phenomenon now going on in paranormal encounter of gargoyle entities, and it's a term that's being applied to unknown forms and manifestations that many times have a humanoid characteristic to them. Mothman, for example, could fall into that category of a gargoyle kind of entity. It looks ugly. It's got, wings. It seems to be humanoid, but it's got other characteristics as well. And these sorts of reports have been on the rise lately, these gargoyle entities. Some of them are seen flying, sort of like the New Jersey Devil kind of thing. So that's another trend that I'm seeing in paranormal activity. These things go in cycles, and we'll see rises in certain kinds of activity for a while, even years, even cresting over decades, and then something will then begin to diminish, and another form will start to be spotted a lot. It's as though these things constantly shape-shift to engage our attention or to engage with us. And then when there's a saturation point, the shape-shifting goes into a related but another form. So the gargoyles that are being seen by people now, out in remote places, there hasn't been a whole lot of interaction with them, but they're scary looking. People are frightened when they do see them.
They really are. They're freaky, aren't they?
They do look pretty scary, but I actually have some gargoyles in my house for these guardianship purposes.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. We'll go to Gray Station, Tennessee. Dirk's with us. Dirk, thanks. You're on with Rosemary. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Morning. Ma'am, I hope you are well.
All is well.
Outstanding. I've got an interesting theory to bring up. Growing up in southern Appalachia, I'm sure that you've heard many a ghost story from these parts.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle is a Protestant pastor, and he's dealt with several hauntings, different haunted houses, so to speak. And his theory that he has postulated over the years is that the haunted houses seem to be isolated from the rest of society. They tend to be outside of the bounds of a city corporate limit, outside of the bounds of, as he puts it, the community of, and again, I bring Christianity to it, he's bringing the postulation that there are Christians in a small, confined area, therefore it would be harder, so to speak, for a demonic spirit to invade, if that makes sense. And so the more isolated that a house is into the backwoods, that it would be easier for demonic spirit to infiltrate.
Does placement have anything to do with it, Rosemary? What do you think?
Well, it does, although I do see things from a bit of a different perspective there, because I don't consider all hauntings to be of a demonic hostile intent. But yes, as we are pushing into more remote areas, I think we're disturbing places where spirits have had isolated access to the world. And not all of them seem to like it when people put up houses and roads and structures. The fairies were the same way. I should say they are the same way, because we still have cases going on around the world where beings that we identify as fairies don't like the intrusion of human society into their areas. And our ancestors, our Celtic ancestors, knew that there were certain places that belonged to these spirits, and they were to be left alone. Today, we tend to develop and change without regard to what may be already living there. But on the other hand, it's a very interesting theory, and I think that that could certainly apply to many cases. But as we find in the paranormal, there's no one explanation that fits everything. And we find a lot of haunted homes in cities and in very busy areas. So it's a picture that does apply in certain cases.
Sure is. Thanks, Dirk. Appreciate your call. We know next Dennis is in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Dennis. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Norby, Ms. Kylie. I have a problem. I don't know if you would view it as a problem, but a few times when I went to go shopping for a house, I had this problem where I can be walking down the street, or if I, like in one time we were looking to buy a house, and I can actually go toward a house, look at it, and get these feelings, whether there was a happy family in there one time, or I got a feeling one time it's like that it was actually saying to me, don't bother coming in here, whether the family had a bad life in there, something bad happened in there, or I could actually walk down the street, look at a person, and get these feelings where the person is bad news, or the person has some physical problems, or whether this person doesn't even have long. And I hate when I get these feelings, whether I'm looking at a house or looking at an individual. What is this?
Dennis, it sounds like you're highly empathic, and there are people who are very sensitive to emotional energy. They can pick it up from people and from places, and places are reservoirs of residues of emotions. When people have lived in a place and they've been happy or unhappy, that leaves a palpable psychic imprint in the structure and the space itself. And if you have the right attunement, you can pick up on that. You've got plenty of company. There are a lot of people like this. And for some people, it can be quite intrusive, because literally you can walk down the street and feel impacted by everybody's thoughts and emotions. So there are ways to learn how to buffer yourself up so that you're not impacted by that, and to learn how to be open to it when you want to be, and to be closed to it other times. But that sounds like that's what's going on.
So you're in Salem. You're going to be there for how long? Just through Halloween?
Through Sunday. The Witch's Ball is Friday night. I have a Black Mirror. I have an event called Portal to the Spirit World that is contacting the dead with Black Mirrors. That's tomorrow night. I'm doing some book signings in the mall area here. The Hawthorne has a party on Saturday, and then we take back for the real world on Sunday.
Is your husband into this stuff?
Oh, very much so. He really enjoys it. We actually met at the Mothman Conference. And, you know, it's kind of an unlikely romantic place to meet. But, yes, that's where we actually met. So he enjoys going around to all of these events and going on investigations. It's very nice to have a partner who's on the same wavelength.
Well, it sure is. It sure is. And how many people out there in Salem now, I mean, for these events?
It's going to be like Mardi Gras.
Really?
The place is packed. Halloween in Salem, the streets are jammed. People are in costume. There's all kinds of parties going on. We should have good weather. It's supposed to rain a little bit, but it doesn't seem to dampen people too much. But, yes, all the hotels are sold out well in advance for this, and people just take to the streets and have a good time.
Have a good time indeed. We go to Carol in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Carol, you're up with Rosemary. Go ahead.
Yes. I see that Rosemary was talking about the shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who they are. The reason why is first time I have seen them was when my dog died. Then the second time, my husband and I were watching TV, and I seen them again. And I said to my husband, did you see that? He said, yes. He said, I've been seeing them. He said, I also seen a little girl. Then a few days later, my husband passed away. I want to know, and when I saw them, I ran out screaming, get the hell out of my house. Who are they?
Who are the shadow people, Rosemary?
I believe that shadow people are a form taken by jinn, who are supernatural entities who share the planet with us. They have a variety of purposes. I've been studying them since 2004. When I began studying them, I wasn't quite certain what they were. I just compiled a lot of pattern information based on, I have well over 1,000 cases in my own database, and there are many more cases available on the internet as well. Some of them do seem to show up right before a passing, and they have this, in Irish folklore, that would be the role taken by the banshee, Irish and Scottish lore.
Right.
The dark figure who comes to announce or to precede a passing. Sometimes they're bedroom visitors. They observe people. Some of them are involved in the ET abduction scenario. They're shapeshifters. They seem to have a variety of purposes. And people may encounter them once or twice and then never again, and sometimes experience them a lot. They can be attached to land. People can move into a place where these beings are resident in the psychic landscape, so to speak. And if there is a dwelling in that spot, then they will have access to the dwelling.
They seem to be everywhere, Rosemary. They seem to be everywhere. We're going to come back with some more calls, final calls, on Coast to Coast AM. And on our next Coast to Coast program, our investigative reporter, Linda Bolton Howe, joins us. So make sure you're part of that program. And then don't forget Ghost to Ghost on Friday night. We will have an interview about haunted places for the first hour. And then Ghost to Ghost begins in the second hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Final segment with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And Rosemary, you were wrapping things up about shadow people, so let's let you finish that up, whatever these beings might be.
Variety of purposes. And one of them is this harbinger of passing. People will see them prior to the death of a person or a pet. They've even been seen in hospitals before people have passed, almost like they're like a dark angel of death. Others seem to want to observe people. They're bedroom invaders. They come and stand at the side of people's beds. They throw off an awful lot of intense, hostile energy, and that makes people very frightened. I think it's a vampiric effect for them. And then others seem to want to engage with people in a more dramatic way They participate in these abduction experiences and aggressive attacks, nightmare invasion, sort of a takeover of a person. But I believe them to be beings who share the planet with us. I think a lot of these spirit interactions are, these entity interactions, I should say, they're shapeshifters, they take different forms, and they can cause a lot of upset.
Have they hurt people physically?
People have reported being bruised by them, bruised and sometimes small cuts if they have actual physical contact with them. Most of the terror is psychological rather than physical, which is still capable of taking quite a toll on a person. If you gain the psychological edge on someone with a campaign of terror, their whole lives can fall apart. And I have seen that happen as well. So, yes, they do pose a danger to people that they can get hooked into.
Let's go to some final calls now. Mike is truck driving in Florida. Mike, welcome to Coast, sir.
Thanks, George. It's always great when Rosemary's on the show.
Sure.
I hope to have time to bring up a couple of things. The first one is shadow people. When I was around five, we moved to a historic house in Wisconsin, and I had a repetitive shadow person that would basically come out of the closet door and walk towards my bed every night within about 10 to 15 minutes after, you know, they sent me to bed. And the light in the hall was on. My sisters would watch TV in the room across the hall, older sisters. And, of course, they tell you as a young child, you know, it's your imagination. Well, this went on for months where I just would sit up and wait for him. It was a male figure. It was no hat, described by a lot of people, but it was somebody that looked very fit and almost like if you imagined a blacked out Spider-Man actor. And he would just walk out of the, it was a big room, and he would come out of the door and just walk purposely towards me. Never changed. It was almost like the memory or pattern Rosemary mentioned. Well, after many months, you know, I would, obviously as a child, I would jump out of bed and I'd have to run past him to get to the door, and I'd go screaming down the hall to my parents. Little by little, as I got more brave and almost angry, I would stop in the hall and look back and watch him, and he would keep walking. Well, long story short is that one time I finally got up the courage, and I sat there in the bed, and he walked right through me. I watched, turned around, I watched him walk out. This was on a second floor. He walked out the exterior wall of the house. That was the last time I ever saw him. So what Rosemary said, and a lot of people say, maybe it's feeding off my fear. I don't know, but it broke the spell. I never saw him again. There was a lot of turmoil in the house. That was the other thing, if you had a minute, I wanted to bring up, because you know, one of the other topics she talked about is oppression or walk-ins on people. It's a little bit different topic, but along the same lines, I had an alcoholic parent, and at this time, part of that turmoil, you know, might have stirred this up. It's a shadow person, I don't know. I've had experiences my whole life, like she said, some people had. And I wanted to tell people, for anybody that has faith in God or Jesus, you know, later in life, with alcohol and like she mentioned on other programs of drugs that people can get, you know, have walk-ins. I did see that with a parent, and you get hypersensitive when you're around that. I know a lot of people are probably aware of that, and almost where you can see that somebody else has stepped in, a person that's had too much.
Oh, that happens quite a bit. Rosemary, any experience with walk-ins?
Yes, it does happen. And again, across the spectrum, there are some people who feel that they've had good walk-ins. They've traded off with a more enlightened personality that is able to step into their lives and in order to accomplish something. But on the negative side, yes, these entities can do takeovers. And Mike mentioned the turmoil in the household. That is a characteristic of many shadow people invasions, and it's like they're drawn to the turmoil. They feed off that energy. And when you have people, especially who have the habits of the alcohol or some sort of drug use, that seems to provide enhanced openings for them to come and lodge. Some of them seem to move around on tracks, and it's like they have limited mobility in our dimension. As Mike described, the figure coming out of the closet and going down a hallway, that's described over and over again, where these beings seem to move in the same way in the same areas. They've got the point of access, the closet, and then they often will go down a hallway. They will walk through people. I've had many reports of that, and some people have felt physically affected in an adverse way from that. And it does seem to be that when people are able to overcome the fear factor, that will get a lot of them to go away. Other people find that if they leave the lights on, the radio, the television, that seems to disrupt their ability to manifest. People have employed religious remedies with some success. There's no one remedy that works in all cases, so people have to experiment.
Okay, next up we have Reba in Washington, the state of. Reba, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hello, Rosemary. I actually have two questions to ask Rosemary. The first one being, I experienced, and a friend of mine, we were together and we experienced jumpers at one of the businesses in the town where I live. And it's an old historic building. And I'm curious of whether or not you have ever yourself experienced a jumper. And the other question is regarding my first experience being clairaudio. But I'm kind of curious about this jumper business. I've only ever experienced that twice.
I'm not sure what you mean by jumper. Are you talking about a spirit?
Yes. If you look at, well, I've, like I said, we saw them very clearly. They're kind of a light gray on the outside, and as you move to the inside of the limbs, they get darker, and to the very center of their core is black. And you will see them, and you will see them raise one leg, and then and they try to jump. It's like they're jumping into you. They stand right in front of you when they do this. It's really, I don't know what to make of it. Like I said, I've seen this twice, and my friend was with me. She saw one in front of me, and I happened to be looking to the left when I saw the one that was in front of her. And we've only been back into that business one other time, and that's it, because we saw them then also, and it was always up on the second floor of this building.
I haven't encountered entities exactly like that. However, there's one thing about all of these entity encounters. Is there's so much shape-shifting that there are myriads of forms that these things will take, especially if they want to have some sort of attachment to a person or access to a person. You described this phenomenon of seeming like they wanted to jump into someone, which would be similar to other ways that predatory entities would attempt to latch to people. And it could very well be in this environment that this is a form that, this kind of entity takes. And It may have to do with certain environmental conditions or even the way other beings are perceiving these entities. With many of them, we don't even really know what their true form is because how we perceive them depends on us and the context in which we are engaging with them.
The psychic vampire, which is something you and I have talked about for years now, Rosemary, are they out to take advantage of people, or do they just not know? And I'm talking about the human form.
Some of them literally don't know. They're people who have an unwitting characteristic of their own energy field that automatically draws energy off other people. And we've all been around individuals like that, that just being around them is very exhausting and tiring. And meanwhile, we're getting more fatigued, and they seem to be lighting up. They're more energetic. And this seems to be a natural form of psychic vampirism. There are deliberate ways to take the energy off people. And yes, there are individuals who do practice that in a predatory sort of way. There's there are other forms of psychic vampirism within the vampire community where they do it with willing donors, and they have strict guidelines and ethics and morals for not taking too much energy off people and only doing it with permission. But there are many ways that people can employ certain magical techniques to snake into somebody's energy field and just pull on it like a straw.
Let's go to North Carolina. Simi is there. Simi, you're on with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Rosemary. I'm hoping you could answer a few questions for me about the black-eyed children. So, like, where did they actually come from? Are they also like a multidimensional being that can move in and out? Or?
We don't know, Rosemary, where they come from.
That's true, George. We really don't. They do seem to be the interdimensional explanation. They do seem to be interdimensional. I have felt for a long time the interdimensional explanation is the best fit for these entity contact experiences. We share the planet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they take different forms. They will take different forms to accomplish certain objectives. Centuries ago, people had encounters with demons and fairies. Today, it's with beings we call ETs, with black-eyed children, with vampires. It's the phenomenon with a capital P mutates according to our expectations, and who knows what the real Oz is behind the curtain.
True. And you had another question there? Yeah.
Yes, I did, please. When they're called black-eyed children, are they really, like, do they look like a child, or are they just small, petite?
Oh, no, they're strange-looking children with huge black eyes. They may look a little pasty-looking, but they're, you know, child size and child features, aren't they, Rosemary?
Yes, they are. And that's what gets people off guard, is that the first thought is that they're kind of forlorn, raggedy-looking children, and that they might need help. And that's one of the disarming ways that they get people to open up, because most adults, if they're approached by children who are asking for help or look like they're not well cared for, the immediate response is to want to help a child. And that's when people find that there's something very strange about these kids. They have the black eyes, sometimes the saw teeth. There's a weird vibe or a malevolent feel to them. And they seem to be very solid. Entities are capable of shape-shifting into forms which have a tangible nature to them. They look and feel real if you happen to have physical contact with them. You think that you're touching something solid, but they're shapeshifters, and they can disappear in a flash.
Let's go to Jeannie in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Jeannie, we'll get you in here. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, my grandfather passed away about 10 years ago, and my mother had had no experiences from him. And then just recently, a while ago, he came to her, and she said that he was solid, he was real. She felt him, felt his warmth, everything hugging him, and said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you're here. You know, where you been? I missed you, blah, blah, blah." And all of a sudden, my dad said something, and she said she came out of it and woke up. And she doesn't want to. I said, "Well, Mom, why don't you talk to her, try to communicate with him, you know, and stuff like that." And she's kind of frightened, too, because sometimes spirits will take over to try to be loved ones, to communicate. What is something positive that she wouldn't be scared to do to communicate with him and know it's him?
We do have genuine contact with the dead in dreams. And this is well documented from ancient times. Usually the returning dead don't wait so long to come back. So what I'm wondering here is if there's a purpose for this visit, because something's going on in the life of a living person. The dead can come back to impart advice or to play some sort of role in that. But if she, the best indicator whether this was a good or bad experience is how she felt about it. And it sounds like this was a very positive experience. If spirits are going to masquerade as the dead, which they can, I see that most often in haunting scenarios where spirits are the ghosts of the dead. That seems to be a masquerade that's quite common in those kinds of situations. But the dream visits from the dead are well documented. They have a message and a purpose. Usually people only have one or two of these. And from your description, it sounds like this was a genuine experience.
Sure was. Rosemary, we are rapidly running out of time. Would you get your website off for us, please?
VisionaryLiving.com is my main website, and you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter there. It's a free monthly newsletter. And I also have a website devoted to the djinn called djinnuniverse.com, D-J-I-N-N.
All right, Rosemary, thanks. Have a great Halloween out there in Salem, Massachusetts.
Thank you, and you too, George.
Should be a lot of fun for you. That's exciting. I, of course, will be doing Ghost to Ghost for you on Halloween night, so make sure you're part of that program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.